Hello and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, this is The Established Facts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 114 of The Established Facts. We hope that you have had a wonderful holiday season.
Happy New Year.
That you had a great Christmas. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Happy New Year. I think that's Festivus for the rest of us.
Festivus?
Yeah. Yule.
Yes. Saturnalia.
Yule. Yes, that's true.
Yule.
Uh-huh.
We hope that you have enjoyed kind of our holiday break on episodes as far as we did a really fun interview episode with Peter Spellos and some of the Indie PopCon guys. We did a year-end review episode. We've done... What else have we done, Joshy? Do you remember?
Holiday, year-end interviews.
Okay, holiday was the one that I was missing. I couldn't remember. I don't know why I couldn't remember. Just go with it. However, we have had a really good time kind of breaking some things down as far as personalities as player. Oh, get out of here. GM and people like that kind of looking at their personalities. And I'm being extremely distracted by the two ladies sitting to my right and left. So let's go ahead and introduce everyone who's at the table, starting to my right.
To your right is Dr. Deb.
This is Josh.
This is Ragar, a.k.a. Jeremy.
This is Alan.
Hey, guys, this is Derek.
Hey, this is Carrie Wu.
And this, of course, is your host, Big Don. We are continuing with our Myers-Briggs examination using the Kiersey temperaments. Today, whenever you're listening to this episode, it could be morning, I don't know. We are discussing the MBTI personality of the NT, which is the intellectual or the rational. So, Debbie, why don't you go ahead and kind of give us an intro on some information about rationals.
So the rationals are the intuitive thinkers. So it's that pairing. So there are four within that, of course. All the others had four, too. There is the INTJ, ENTJ, INTP, and the ENTP.
Oh, so many letters.
I know. Right. It is alphabet soup. So, a quick view of a rational. This is from the Kiersey.com website, if you want to look at it. Rationals are the problem-solving temperament, particularly if the problem has to do with the many complex systems that make up the world around us. Rationals usually share the following characteristics. They tend to be pragmatic, skeptical, self-contained, and they are focused on problem solving and systems analysis. They pride themselves on being ingenious, independent, and strong-willed. Rationals make reasonable mates, individualizing parents, and strategic leaders. They also tend to be even-tempered. They trust logic, yearn for achievement, seek knowledge, prize technology, and dream of understanding how the world works. So I was looking. Yes.
To all of that. I'm married to an NT.
Uh-huh. I have two NTs as brothers.
I was having fun watching Derek nodding as you were going through that.
Uh-huh.
I was going to give you some quotes from some famous rationals because I think these quotes are hilarious because they are so accurate to every NT that I know. I have taken all of knowledge for my province. Knowledge is power. Francis Bacon.
Oh, Bacon.
Error of opinion may be tolerated where reason is left free to combat it. Thomas Jefferson. Never express yourself more clearly than you think. Niels Bohr. And my favorite has to be Albert Einstein's. To me, it suffices to wonder at these secrets and to attempt humbly to grasp with my mind a mere image of the lofty structure of all that there is.
I don't even know what you just said.
Exactly, but that would be Albert Einstein, who is the same personality as my brother Chris, by the way, who is an NT, and Carrie's husband Tim, who is my brother, who's an NT. And I drift toward NT myself, so I kind of, yeah.
My brother's an NT.
He is.
Josh?
Yes, he is an ENTP. He's not with us today.
Sniff.
So some famous rationals, just to give you kind of an idea when you think about these people, where they tend to make their mark. You see the most of them in science, education. You see also them in politics, government, and military because of their ability to be strategic thinkers. So some famous politics, government folks. You have Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Dwight Eisenhower, Ulysses S. Grant, Douglas MacArthur, George Marshall, Peter the Great, Margaret Thatcher, Golda Meir, Hillary Clinton.
You have gold in your ear?
Yes. Golda Meir is the only female prime minister of Israel, but I wish I had Golda Meir. Napoleon Bonaparte and William Tecumseh Sherman were all considered to be rationals. Now, on your science part, because here's another one of your great thinker thought processes, most of your great thinkers were NTs, if you look at them. Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton, Stephen Hawking, Richard Feynman, who was a very famous physicist, Nikola Tesla, Charles Darwin.
Which my husband loves.
Yes, Tesla. Yes. Benjamin Franklin, Carl Sagan, Marie Curie,
Carl Sagan,
Booker T. Washington, and Aristotle were all thought to be rationals.
There was one woman on that whole list.
Correct. But she did win a Nobel Prize. Just saying. I will also throw some of these in because they are in business and they are also in arts and entertainment, but it's very interesting when you look at them and go, that makes sense. So business, Bill Gates, Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, are all considered to be, and you can kind of see that when you think about how they handle their business. And last of all, arts and entertainment. I found some of these fascinating. Walt Disney was thought to be irrational. Didn't do too bad for himself. Mark Twain was thought to be irrational. Gregory Peck, that actor, he was actually thought to be irrational. I'm like, really? But then I think of To Kill a Mockingbird, and I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I can see that. George Bernard Shaw, Isaac Asimov, Steve Allen, they're all thought to be intuitive thinkers.
Okay, the intuitive thinkers. So we actually have a couple intuitive thinkers on the podcast. Ragar. What is your personality?
INTJ.
And Derek?
INTJ.
Right, so we're all going to die.
Yes,
we have two masterminds.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
The mastermind, the strategist.
No, just mastermind.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Because they know very well what they are.
Yeah.
I think another name for it, for the 16 personalities, is the architect as well.
Correct. Yes. There is that component to it.
You identify more with that one then?
Yeah, I'm the architect and you're the mastermind. I think that works.
Yes.
Because we both have one of each.
That totally wasn't what happened in our Star Wars campaign.
Well, no.
That's true.
I wasn't really mastermind, more like chaotic energy.
Yes.
So.
So true. And then my brother Chris is an INTP, which I've seen as a several. I've seen that one called the architect, but that's not really accurate because he couldn't stay focused on one project long enough to build one. So INTP, maybe the absent-minded professor, the guy thinking the brilliant thoughts in the corner, Sherlock. If you like that TV show, I think is an INTP.
Debbie, did you say that one of the famous people that you have on there is Mark Twain?
Yes, they thought that he was irrational.
Okay, because I have on a different Myers-Briggs, Kiersey Temperament website, him as an ENFP.
And people argue whether he was more a thinker or a feeler, depending on what book you read and what you know about him.
Is it ENTP? Is that what he's under?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yes.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. And they weren't sure. They think he might have been close on the T and the F. Which, speaking of T and F...
Oh, yeah, that is our versus topic. Thank you for hosting our show.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Totally glad you're paying
attention. Everybody but you are
segues.
They'd fire me if we actually made any money with this.
Actually, I think that just shows how good of a leader you are.
That I can entrust
people.
Each. That's right. I am.
Empowered.
Well, I am the inspirer, if you will.
Shut up, mastermind.
I loved it.
Well played.
See, the way that Jeremy and I work is he gives me all the ideas and I just make them look really good.
Give in to your hatred, Emery.
Give in to the dark side.
Thank you, Palpatine.
Strike me down.
We have cookies.
Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so our versus topic for episode 114 with the Rationals is thinker versus feeler. So as we've been doing, we're going to go around the table, especially now that we've all retaken the test and most of us have redefined what we really are in life. We'll go ahead and start with Debbie, and we'll go around the table, and just go ahead and give us whether you are a thinker or a feeler, and then we'll kind of talk about the differences between the two. So, Deb.
Thinker.
Josh.
Feeler.
I'm the artist.
Oh,
that's about the most
gracious.
Opposite thing I can think of on the planet for
Ragar,
actually.
Mastermind.
That's right, T.
Yes.
I'm a thinker.
That's right.
Mm. I'm the symbol.
The caregiver.
I'm an Aquarius.
I'm a thinker.
Okay.
And I'm a feeler.
And I am also a feeler. So we got three feelers and four thinkers at the table. So this should be a decent number of people to kind of weigh one over the other. So I guess the first, I don't know, I'm a feeler, so I can't figure out who should do this. Thinker, help me out. All at once. All right, yeah.
Well, Alan just had his mind blown.
That's true.
I know,
that's
right?
True.
I went from
we'll
feeler
start
to thinker in 12 minutes. We'll I don't know. I don't even know what to think or feel about
that. That's right. So Alan,
I have to say,
originally,
Carrie and I thought he was an ESTP. Yeah. He looked at me and goes, I'm an ESFP. And I was like, Carrie and I are thinking you're a TP. And of course, that put doubt in his mind. So he's starting to take the test again. And so he's taking it right before.
Apparently, I'm a thinker now. And I'm like, oh, wait, I better check this.
Wait, right. I better check this.
That's
so
why
he
you're
shows
emotionless.
And
this
he showed
garbage.
So cold. Wait, sorry, so cold and calculating.
So
I apologize. Sorry,
Karen
not emotionless, just cold and calculating.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we just totally TP'd Alan.
That's yeah, right. TP'd me. Hardcore.
Wow.
Phrasing.
Wow, phrasing.
Because really, a thinking perceiver can look like a judger.
Correct.
And,
I was feeling pretty judgy. I was wondering why I wasn't so judgmental on paper.
Yeah, that's true. So, Alan, how does it feel to go from a feeler to a thinker?
Let me think about it.
Okay.
Okay,
you're funny. Okay, so normally I'm the one who does this.
Yes.
So I'll take it over.
I'll host it. Go for it.
Explains the versus topic.
Oh, what we're actually talking about.
Yeah. So feelers, they decide based on their feelings, hence why they're feelers. And thinkers make decisions objectively. So I'll put my personal life here. Mm-hmm. So say I want to buy something and my husband's like going through this list for me of all the things that might go wrong with the thing that I want to buy just because I feel like buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a thinker versus a feeler.
Mm-hmm. I would be my husband versus me.
See, and I love the analogy that you gave because it reminds me of every conversation I've had with any of my friends who are not feelers. Because the way that I usually define it is, if you are a feeler, you decide, you know, I really feel like going to this restaurant tonight. And then you get there and you go, is this really what I want?
And that drives
me
insane.
And as a thinker, we go, no, we're going to Steak and Shake tonight. And you get there and you're going, Steak and Shake.
Exactly.
And I'm going, do I really want Steak and Shake or do I want to go across the street to Ruby Tuesday?
Or is that your pee going? Yeah. 47 equal possibilities.
No, because it's all based on how do I really feel about what I'm getting ready to eat.
I see.
But see, I do that. But what I do is I go, okay, well, that sounds great. Do I really want that? Maybe I want that. Maybe I want that. I'll go to all three places, get something, and put it together as one item.
Okay, well, that's the P in you.
Efficient.
That's the P in you because of what you just said. Efficient. That's the P in you. You're like, I need carbs, so I'm going to go and get this. And I need protein in my diet, so I'm going to go in and get this. And I really, really, really want a caffeine-free Diet Coke. And the only place that has it is this place over here. So I'm going to go get all three of those. Me, I'm going, God, I'd really love some ice cream. Do I really want ice cream, though, or maybe I just want cake? I don't really know what I want.
When we talk,
what do I feel like? Let's go to Hobby Lobby.
Maybe Mole would cover both of these. Oh, wait, no, that's a thinker coming into it.
The way that I have to think about when I interact, especially with feelers, mm-hmm. is okay, how can I say this so I don't hurt their feelings?
Yes.
Yes. And then you forget not to hurt their feelings, and yes. you hurt their feelings on accident. Yes. And you're like, I didn't mean to do that.
You purposefully go through trying to think out what you say, and you still come across as
correct.
Exactly.
Cold.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
well, feelers, they avoid arguments and conflicts, and thinkers argue or debate dealing? Issues for fun. Yeah, this is a big difference.
Why are we not dealing with this?
Yes. This is a problem.
Let's deal with it now. Let's fix it.
Are you kidding me? Try being married in that situation. I know Tim and Carrie deal with it all the time. Deb and I just dealt with it this morning.
Yeah.
We had breakfast.
I don't have to deal with it. My wife is an F. Right, we're both FPs, so.
You got your own issues.
That's right. She says everything out loud, and I go, oh, I don't like that idea.
That's your N and S.
Internally. Why does your face look like that?
I don't know. I need some ice cream. You.
That's not the answer to the question, Don. I'm going to the bathroom.
I'm running into a different issue now because I have all these inner monologues. Mm-hmm. So I think I really think about what I say to people. So I've already thought that I've already said it out loud.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
oh, gosh.
That's your in.
Yeah.
That's your in.
Yeah. Josh does it all the time and doesn't know he does it all the time.
I've gotten really good about that, but I'm not sure how I trained myself to do that.
When you figure that out, please let me know.
See, it's the opposite for me. So. I say it, and then I think, oh my God, did that really... I just said that. Okay, well, I said it. I'm standing by. Right. Yeah. You know what? I said it.
So, my question for the thinkers at the table, when and Derek kind of brought this up, when you're dealing with people who are feelers... You know, let's just put the versus topic to test. When you're dealing with people who are feelers, how or what approach do you take in order to kind of masterminds, manipulate the situation so that you get exactly the result that you want out of it?
We dictate.
Actually, I never dictated.
Really?
Really.
Because, like, if I were to interact with... Okay, let's go to a gaming situation because this is sort of a gaming podcast.
We'll yes.
just sort of fake occasionally. It.
Occasionally. We used to be.
Yes, we did. Now we're psychological analysis, apparently.
When you're running as a GM,
mm-hmm.
and we were in the town with the zombies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The way that I handle like the whole like feely thing where you're not, where I feel it's very aimless,
mm-hmm.
is I will blow something up.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's what I did with Chupa. That's what I did with the cat person. Mm-hmm. I will literally try to make something happen so that we can move the story along.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the same way that I handle interacting with people is if they're talking about, let's say they're deciding on where to eat out for a restaurant. At some point I will say, hey, let's do this.
I've seen this in real life.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. All of a sudden, Derek's just like, poof, I don't know where, I have a decision, we're doing this thing.
Yes.
And I'm like,
whoa. And usually everyone's like, okay. Occasionally, probably another NT goes, I'm not sure that's the smartest decision based upon these logical reasons. They'll do like the reasoning thing.
Right. And then I'll be like...
you get feelers are like, okay, cool. And then
we will debate amongst ourselves.
Correct.
Okay.
And the feelers over there in the corner are like, have you decided yet? And we're doing the back and forth.
I'm guessing this is because I'm a little special as far as INTJs.
Yes, you are special.
You are special, Jeremy.
And I'm not sure maybe if it's the ambivert aspect of me. Like I can fish around a little bit in the extrovert area or something. Maybe that's where I'm pulling this from. But I actually go through and try to do some measure of consensus building.
Okay.
And usually what happens is I'll kind of listen to people as they say what their ideas are. And I'm like, okay, this idea is really the best idea.
Mm.
And so I start going through and working through with, you know, the group and saying, this is why this is the best idea. But I let somebody else bring it to the table first.
So
at least I try to.
So in a situation where you're faced with, let's say you have a split house. Some people want to go and have dinner. Some people want to stay and play games. But everyone needs to eat at some point, and everybody wants to play games.
That's exactly the argument I was sitting in my head. I was like, well, everybody has to eat at some point. Let's
right.
just go eat.
So,
oh, I've seen you do that. Yeah.
So what I would do in a situation like that, being the... F, versus the T is I want to know how everybody feels about gaming versus eating first.
Mm. Oh, that's not important.
And then, right.
Exactly.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Because for me, it's all about the emotional composition of the room. How does everybody feel? Are we going to sit down and play a game and realize that the people who haven't eaten are going to be grumpy and don't actually want to play, and so nobody's going to have a good time, so it's a better idea for all of us to go and eat now?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we all chill enough to sit down and play a game of apples to apples or Flux, and then when we're done with that, we can go and get some food, and we're all still having a good time?
Yeah. See, mentally, what I was putting in my head is, okay, we're looking at time slices.
Right.
How much time are we dedicating to eating?
Exactly.
If
I did
we
the same
go
thing.
And eat now, then people are going to be motivated to not eat for a very long time.
Right.
So after that's done, we'll be able to game for a longer duration.
Right.
And so we can, you know, look at whatever games can fit into that time slice or multiple games in that time slice.
Or we can be more efficient and eat and play at the same time. So we could have a couple people go out if we're going to pick up food.
And this is where Derek picks up his notes and rips them and we just...
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of it in... In practicum, and seeing the difference between an F and a T, looking at the logical broken down versus looking at the emotional broken down.
Essentially, I like to think of that kind of stuff as like a false dichotomy. It's like, we have to do this or this. It's like, why can't we do both?
Yeah, we can be efficient in this.
Debbie.
I do want to say, as a thinker, that I want to say out there to... all of you feelers who are married to a thinker or have a sibling who's a thinker, that for the most part, there are exceptions, but for the most part, when something comes out of a thinker's mouth and you as a feeler are just like, oh, I can't believe they said that. I want you to know that it is very rarely said from a thinker that we mean to hurt your feelings. We were not saying that to hurt your feelings. We really didn't. We were... breaking it down, the most logical, objective, efficient, we want the best decision possible for you, especially if you're a loved one or someone we care about. We want it to be the best possible thing, and we are trying to say the truth in the simplest, most direct way possible to get that.
We are your Spock to your Kirk.
Correct.
That is correct.
That is exactly right.
And there is a...
And your Bones, because Bones was...
That's true. There is also a tendency, especially if you're going to T and F, like if in a relationship, to the point where the T's will... Wow.
Well, goodness.
We're going to rock it out.
Now, for
That's
this commercial break.
Woo! Rock it out.
Thanks,
Al.
You're welcome. We have the rights to play that song.
I don't even know what it was. I just heard noise.
Anyway, so there is a tendency for thinkers to get... how do I put it? To get stopped in what they're saying. So not be able to speak because they're concerned that what they're going to say is going to hurt people.
Correct.
So if we, like, I tend to be a lot more quiet because I'm like, okay, if I say this, and then am I going to hurt their feelings?
Right. But then
so
if
I
you have people, right, then you have people who are like, no, say the truth, say what you think, and you're like,
Are you really ready for that?
And then, because Josh
like
does
every
all the
conversation
time.
With Derek and I involved in the conversation.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Where I look at him, I'm just like, okay, I know you want to say something. Just say it.
And he's going, okay, I don't want to hurt her feelings. I don't want to hurt her feelings.
Bracing myself. I can take it.
Something.
This is my husband and I. You need to tell me the truth. And I'm like, I don't know if you want, you can't handle the truth.
Sorry.
It's, I mean, that's what it feels like sometimes. And then I'm like, okay, here goes. And then or when a feeler looks at me and goes, you know, you are so upset about, you know, you're really upset about this. And I'm like, I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all. Why? I think the feeler gets upset. And this has happened to me with several people who are feelers. They're upset and they think I'm upset. I'm actually usually not. When I'm upset, you know I'm upset. When you get a thinker upset, it's usually really not good.
It really isn't.
It usually turns into a huge
people
mess.
People die.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Now, Alan over there is just like, I have no idea what you're talking about because I never get upset about anything.
Well, I was going to expound a little bit on that point. I think the funny differences are, you know, obviously, thinkers break everything down logically. Whether, you know, in the situation that Jeremy and I just talked about, whether it's time slices for dinner and gaming, you know, feelers are worried about emotional content. What I think is funny, though, because feelers are constantly connected with their emotional sense, they might have a wider range of emotion, but they can deal with a wider range of emotion. Whereas when a thinker finally gets to that point where their feeling emotions tip the scale, it's like flipping on.
There's a switch.
Know. Yeah, it's like, you know, going to a rock show and seeing pyro everywhere. It's like all of a sudden your T turns into an F and you just get out of the room.
Yeah, actually, yeah. That goes into what I was wanting to comment about is thinkers have a difficulty being able to pull back some of their punches.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But when a thinker is on the other side of that and receiving those punches, it can also be just as painful as if it was a feeler.
Right.
Yes.
And so, you know, we have a tendency of dishing it out, but that doesn't mean we can take
it. It's tough to understand, and it's really the Spock thing. It really is, because it's tough to understand the feelings part of it.
Yeah.
Just talking personally, because I either am very disassociated with my feelings,
right.
Or I have overloaded.
You're full bore.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Same here.
Let's talk to the extroverted thinker over there who's not saying anything.
I am just letting this happen. I'm not a part of it.
No, you're still trying.
You and Deb are the only S's at the table, and you're the more extroverted one.
And you're still trying to process the fact that you're now a thinker and not a feeler, and you weren't aware.
No, I'm still going, how did I ever test as a feeler? Because honestly, I look at feelers a lot of times and I'm going, you can see this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel this, I understand.
You have an advantage. Because the feeler that you grew up with was me, and I'm not the same kind of... I'm special, right. Like you're, Jeremy.
I don't feel like you jumped the deep end.
Right.
A lot of feelers are like, bleh.
I have a lot of emotional control.
Pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
You can
calm it
physically
down.
See this, right? You see how this works, you see the progression. Okay, let's dial it back a little bit. Yeah. But I do agree with what you're saying, though. I'm pretty even keel, even probably cold and dead inside, most people would say.
You're cool and reserved like thinkers.
But
cool and reserved
when I am
thinkers.
Angry, when I finally tip that scale to angry, I would much rather that person just not exist at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so would they.
I will make sure they understand that I wish they would not exist. Usually shortly before the pillow goes in their face.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other way, when I truly care about someone and I'm passionate about somebody like that, it tips the opposite way too. I'm not iffy.
Right.
But most of my life I'm iffy.
So, it's funny because listening, Don, you've done a fantastic job defending the feeler organization too.
Right.
And you've done nothing, Josh.
No.
There's your finger.
That's why I'm stepping up saying something. Because Carrie is defending as well, but Don is almost acting as if he's on trial when it comes to being a feeler sometimes. So,
he is.
I'm always on trial.
It's okay.
But you're special.
I am.
There's one. There is a one that I know gets me both in trouble and is a blessing. So it's a blessing and curse in itself, being a feeler. A lot of feelers are forgivers. And we forgive over and over and over and over and over. I have a few friends that have been forgiven more times than I know how to count. And whether it be, you know, religious, personal, whatever, I know it has a lot to do with the personality. But then again, when you have a wife who reaches a point of no return... I can forgive. It doesn't mean you can come around anymore.
I can forgive you.
She ain't forgot.
I don't think that is exclusively to feelers, though.
Yeah.
Because I can forgive people because I can rationally understand what's going on
exactly
behind their actions. But there is a turning point for me where I will say, that's it. We're done.
Which is funny because I don't necessarily understand why some people are being the way they are, and yet I still feel I need to forgive them.
I'm wondering if that's like an NJ combination.
Maybe.
Okay. See, I don't know, because the problem is I tend to think about it and rationalize it, and then I explain to them why they're being this way.
That's
and typically,
you're an S.
Feelers don't typically like that. You're like,
I know.
I completely understand because stereotypically it works this way.
Right.
And then that works that way. And I could see being put in this position, you would feel this way and you would expound upon that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, how are you going to tell me how I feel? No.
I never told you how you feel. Exactly.
You've already told me how you felt. I'm telling you why you feel that way.
Right.
And you know what?
Must be an S.
I will accept you.
eventually. Whatever you are, eventually. I have to think about it, but we'll get
now
there.
Now that I've put you in this criteria, I can sort of deal with you
now that I know where you're at.
And then I'm the nurturer, and I was like, I want everybody to like each other and love each other and don't fight and no arguing.
Nurturing.
It's so funny.
Yeah, but without arguments, then you don't give
anything. Hey, without
us
nurturers, exactly.
The Spartans had it right. Throw
your doctors,
off the cliff.
Your nurses, exactly. Your teachers.
Ask my child.
Your psychologists, your counselors, your, yeah, sure.
My poor child. Oh, God.
Somebody's going to want harmony in the world. Can't be run by TJs. Oh. Sorry. Everybody die. Anybody opposed to me dies.
What can't be run?
The world can't be run by INTJs.
Yeah, they can. It'd be the most efficient world ever.
Totally.
Yeah. There will be no
You're
compassion.
Blonde. You have recessive genes. We don't
I've
need those.
I've got compassion. I
You're
can
right.
fake it.
You do.
You can fake it.
Haven't That's you the seen crux. The Divergent series?
Oh, yeah, I heard it was horrible. Yeah.
That's because it wasn't being led by the smart people.
So, yeah, right. So talking about NTJs and NTs in general, our discussion...
No egos.
That's right. Our discussion for this episode is on the intellectual, the rational, the NT, the intuitive... thinker.
Correct.
What's the statue called, Alan? The thinking man?
The thinking man?
The thinking man.
Yeah, look at the art guy. Right. Yeah. Put me on the spot.
Cool. Right, well, sorry, right. You know.
There's that guy.
Art history. Yeah. I slipped through that class because it wasn't mine.
That's and I slept through the other half when you took my notes.
Yeah.
Haven't Appreciate you watched that. Mr. Wizard growing up? He goes,
I thought he was just called the
I
thinker.
Mr. Wizard.
Okay.
It's the thinker.
Just no, let, I watched Captain Kangaroo because it made me feel good. So... The intellectual is I don't know, really. Derek?
Here, allow me to
Ragar, help. Yeah, help me out here.
All right, so...
Host this podcast for me, doggone it.
No problem. In working with problems, they are a problem-solving group. All four of them, in their own way. They try to find solutions that have an application in the real world, but they are actually really interested in abstract concepts, which probably confuses the daylights out of people who are more concrete. But they love the concepts. Fundamental principles, natural laws that underlie things. And they are completely pragmatic about their ways and means of achieving their ends. They don't care about being politically correct.
No, they don't.
People don't make sense.
They are interested in the most efficient solutions possible.
Robots make sense.
Efficient solutions. If you're dealing with an NT, efficient solution, you will already be much closer to their heart with just that. They will listen. They will usually listen to anyone who has something useful to teach them, while at the same time disregarding any authority or customary procedure that wastes time and resources.
Actually,
oh, yes, that
right there is probably the best description that you're going to get.
Yes.
So when you're focused on a task, you are essentially 100% focused.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else wants to come over and start interacting with me, interact with me through that.
Yes.
When I'm at work and I am told that I've got three projects at the same time, I can't do anything. I have to focus on one project to get it done.
Yes.
And I think that purely just has to be with being a guy.
No.
No.
Just kidding.
I'm a scrambler.
I'm not. Oh.
Yeah, no. I need... No. And I drift to NT. I'm actually ST, but I'm... Sensing is my lowest of all of them. They're usually only about a 15 to 20% sensing. I can drift into intuitive. And I'm a similar way. So I think it's give me this project and I'm lost in this project. And then somebody comes over and taps me on the shoulder and starts to talk to me about something else. I am mad as a hornet. I'm like, what are you doing? I was doing something. Why are you bothering me?
See,
is the world ending? Are you dying? Are you bleeding? Is my child dying or bleeding? Okay, I didn't think so.
Leave me alone. I've got an image I need to share with you of somebody who has something like that taped on their backs.
Yes.
And don't bother me unless it's a case of a fire.
Right, exactly.
And something about dolphins are... amphibians or something
like that. Yeah, that sounds like an NT.
Deb, so talking on the efficiency thing.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. If a process is not efficient, I go through the roof.
Yes. It's like, why are we wasting all of this time, this effort, this money, this
yes.
people, whatever? Yeah. No, I understand.
Are you the same
that.
Way, Judge? Yeah.
I'm an SF, so I don't understand this at all.
Listening closely, this may give you a little glimpse into your husband's brain.
One of the biggest...
Why does he come over when I'm doing something and I'm focused on something and it's like, oh, let's talk about this other thing that you're not doing right now?
Because in his mind, he's already had a 15-minute conversation with himself about it.
Yeah.
Like he's thought through the 17 different things on the checklist.
Yep.
And he wants to talk to you about the four things he's not sure about, so he can't quite... You know, this might be different. Let me talk to her about it right now because I've been thinking about it for 20 minutes.
You're coming into like the end of a 15-minute conversation in his head.
Yes.
I've quite literally had simulation conversations in my head of in the event that I approach somebody and start talking to them, what is their response going to be?
Uh-huh.
Okay, when they respond,
I can do that sometimes.
What is my counter response?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't like that path. Let's go down this other path.
Yep.
Maybe if I talk to Joe instead of Frank first, what happens there?
See, I'm an NF, but I do similar things as well. I think that might be the intuitive side, just trying to process. But maybe it's not necessarily, maybe it's about the result. Maybe you guys are trying to think through to find the result of the conversation, whereas I'm trying to think through how the conversation's going to affect that other person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't care how it affects the person.
Well, no, I don't. Really, either. It's.
I do.
But it's also.
I do.
I mean.
Yeah, I know Carrie does.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say we do, as far as it comes back to, okay, is this going to throw a wrench in anything else?
We want a good result at the end. So if you're falling into weepy tears.
Games, when that happens, like when it doesn't result in how you wanted it to result in, what do you
I'm
do?
I'm going to be kicking myself the rest of the day.
Yes,
like,
me too.
Oh, why did I say that?
I shouldn't.
Yes. In games, you guys have thrown wrenches and.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we're so trying to turn.
Flabbergasted.
We're trying to turn you into a pea. That's what we're trying to do.
I
we're like, we know that he has this really great linear storyline, but nah, forget that. We just want to do what we want to do, and we're going to see how Derek reacts.
Leave the linearity to me.
I've gotten into the habit
of coming back around to somebody after that happens. I'm like, I need to get this off my chest.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for such and such. I don't know if you took it this way, but this is how I felt about it, and I want to make sure that, you know, this is not going to cause any issues in the future.
Since we are a gaming podcast, I just wonder if that is an issue. I can see that being a big issue for if you have a bunch of NTs playing
and
a
new
game.
Players.
And yeah, and then if you have a GM who's a feeler, or a feeler, you know, perceiver not so much, but a feeler or an S feeler, so like a carry, trying to run a game for a bunch of NTs,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, right. See, it could end really badly, and this is the reason. Even though the game may be phenomenal, but it may be a bunch of touchy feely. You're helping people, you know, you're making their lives better, but it's a very straightforward story, and I can imagine NTs being bored out of their mind.
It's a min-max game. It's a min-max.
You know, there's no puzzles to solve. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing. What? Right.
How can
you're
I?
You're mentioning min-max.
No, no, no.
So.
I don't mean.
No, that's if the entire game was.
Yeah, if the entire party is NTs, it's okay. Well, how can my character build benefit your character build?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see that. Personally,
no?
I don't. Yeah, personally, I wouldn't do that.
I've always been a utility, and I try to actually min-max role-playing aspects.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're wrong, Don.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
NTs tend to be very independent in their thinking. They don't, I hate to say this, at least...
Thanks, Jeremy.
In character builds, I would, and I'm saying this as an ST, so maybe a little different, but I see an NT being way more interested in, am I satisfied that I have built the best character for me that I possibly can? Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what he's doing next to me. Whatever.
And
but am I wrong in that?
And I am also going to drive the story so that I feel like I've just played a movie.
Yes,
okay.
In my mind.
Agreed.
Okay.
So what happens when you have multiple people sitting at the table that want to drive the story?
I usually sit back and let them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And if they drive it off a cliff?
But if you all want to drive it and then no one wants to drive it.
But I make sure, well, essentially I try to be the shadow to somebody's light.
Okay.
And so if we got The Rock coming in here, I'm the one giving him the minigun.
Ah. Okay. There you go.
And I will sit back unless I don't feel like we're moving ahead.
Ah.
Then I'll blow something up.
Something has to be accomplished.
Something has got to
for
be accomplished.
You to be satisfied with the game.
So
he doesn't have the same level of patience I do.
No.
Right. So, but would it be an accurate thing to say that in a game, for someone who is an intellectual or a rational, the game is about, I would like to accomplish something in this game. Or I would like to, even if it's just, I would like to move to the next storyline or the next story plot. You're not going to sit in a game that's sandboxy and, hey, let's talk about what's in this town for the next 4 hours.
I like sandbox games, so, but I won't talk for 4 hours.
I think the way you phrase that's going to make this difficult to answer.
Okay. Yeah.
But if I'm sitting in a, let's reference the movie The Gamers.
Sure.
There's a bar scene in that movie where they're going around saying, okay, I want to talk to the town folk to find out what we're going to encounter in the south.
Okay.
That right there is a great idea.
Sure.
When they go into the tavern, none of them do that. It's just kind of, we're having fun, I want to drink whatever the strongest ale is, and then I go unconscious.
Okay.
And then somebody else is like, I'm pickpocketing this guy, and I steal his pants. And I'm just sitting there thinking, this is boring.
Yes.
Why? Okay, we had a goal. I want to kind of push us towards that goal, and I'm seeing this kind of side story as being boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I would be bored as well. And that's the similar thing that I would have at when I'm running a game and I find people doing table talking a lot.
Right.
I get annoyed.
Uh-huh.
Because I want the story to progress.
Right.
The table talking is a distraction to doing that.
Mm-hmm. Whereas for those people who might be SPs or who might be NFs, that is as much part and vital to their game experience is that table talking and that personal interaction and that feeling more component of, you know, hey, we're laughing, we're having a great time, you know, yeah, you're doing something silly and I'm helping you out. That's the enjoyable part for them. More for, because I think it must be thinker, because I'm with you guys. I would be bored with what you just described. Like, are you kidding me? You're getting drunk. Can we get on? Let me talk to people.
I have found a really good exit for myself.
What's your exit strategy?
in a situation like that. I had a group where we were playing this kind of a Northman Viking style campaign. And I was a bard character. And we were going through doing, you know, whatever random stuff it was. And the story was progressing, but it was progressing a little slowly.
Mm-hmm.
My out was, okay, I want to come up and creatively write a story so that we lived the movie experience, even though we didn't really have that movie experience.
Ah.
And so when it came to the post synopsis to the event, because there's actually multiple groups running the same thing,
okay,
and it was like, okay, now we're going to tell the tale at the fire, and so my tale, our group's tale, was just over the top. we went over the Asgard rainbow, fought some ogres, we came into combat with dark elves, and then we came back through the mist to find the lich, the evil mage, and none of that's really what happened, but it was kind of touching on, okay, we did do this, just wasn't in the same way that I described it.
A little bit of creative liberty.
Uh-huh.
Oh. But in the game itself, I can see that being a conflict, because I can see an NT getting bored quick.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not enough puzzles or things to do. Is that too simple a statement?
No, it's more, well, it's more forward movement.
Okay.
Yeah, it's accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm intrigued that you say that you're looking
it's a perspective change.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to progress things forward, I'm looking backwards and saying, okay, how could I reshape this so that we progressed in a way that I feel happy with?
He's re-engineered it in his own mind.
But
to be
you're
satisfying.
Looking. You look at things like a movie, like experience in the movie. I use music to when I do my plotting. Mm-hmm. So I do
could
things
see
in the
similarities.
Beats.
Like this is the build-up. This is the crescendo.
Yeah, and that's a denouement. So
script-wise, I'm doing something similar, but I'm looking at it as this is the inciting incidents.
Mm.
This is the climax.
Yeah.
So I guess the question that we're...
architects and building in their own
right,
mind.
Right, the question that we're...
We
that
just
we're,
witnessed an entire NT conversation.
Right. Well, that, and that's kind loud. Of what I was going to ask to highlight. For the two of you who are NTs, what is an ideal game for you? What is an ideal game experience?
Tradable card games for me.
Why?
Puzzles, logic.
Control freak.
Yep.
Okay.
Like, see, I... Oh, man. I'm going to have to come back to that, I think.
Okay.
Because I've been introduced to this issue, I guess, with games in general, mm-hmm. where it's, okay, you go through, you play this game, and then the next game you start over. Mm-hmm. Build up, finish the game, then the next game you start over. And as soon as I heard League of Legends described to me like that, and every time I'm starting over, I took a step back and I'm like, wow, this is a bigger issue.
Yeah.
And now I every time it's like, oh, I see that.
Does it feel like you have lost progress
yep.
at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So it's, I guess, coming back to the question that I was attempting to ask and probably wasn't very clear on, for somebody who is an NT, is it important that if a goal is set, whether it be by the GM or the players, that goal is maybe not necessarily achieved in that day,
progress towards it.
Okay. Okay.
In fact, I would say my all-time favorite game is probably Fallout 2.
Okay. Why?
It has, you know, that open experience, open enough that I can be any type of character I want, have variety of interesting ways to interact with that, and the story has enough length to it that I can get fulfillment of that progression.
Okay.
Yeah, video game, I'd say Skyrim for me.
Very similar reasons.
Yeah.
My husband loves, who's the NT, loves Metal Gear. The new one, Phantom Pain.
The Phantom Pain.
Because yeah. they went open world on it.
He has to collect every single thing. Like, today he didn't get two of the tanks or something in the mission, and he was mad because he didn't get the two and he didn't get the money for them.
Fallout 4 went too far, I think, yeah. with that. With Fallout 4, I don't really care for the settlement development. I find that painstakingly time-consuming. And as I'm running around the world collecting all of this useless stuff to get material for crafting, essentially I'm thinking, grabbing all the BS. Let's put it in a bag, move on.
You never know if you're going to need it.
Why am I doing this? This feels like a waste of time.
That's how I feel about MMORPGs. Yeah. It's the grinding aspect.
Borderlands so far had the best mechanism for that, where I can just go to a group of stuff, hold the button, and it just magnets it mm-hmm. to me. Mm. I really liked that.
Yeah. I liked Eve for their grinding... where you didn't have to physically be there to grind.
Right. Yep. When you were, like, researching or if you were learning skills,
that's
it would just do it.
Something I'm optimistic about Star Citizen with is they're not going to have skills at all. It'll be based on what you're good at as a player.
Oh, that would be cool.
Interesting. So that's fascinating.
I'm crossing my fingers. We'll see how that turns out, because I don't necessarily want the character to be restricted by my own inadequacies or what my weaknesses are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
I mean, the part of the point is to play a character that you're not.
Yes, so, exactly.
It's like, I don't want to play a computer person because I don't want to have to go into work every day and write code. That's boring.
Uh-huh.
So,
Sims, you know, good and bad, but...
I love Sims.
I love Sims.
I couldn't handle Sims.
I'm kind of on like a middle ground. I like the idea of it, but I look at it more as an architectural. Okay, if I design a place, this is what
that's
I want.
What my
Did you play
likes.
Sim Earth at all?
Sim Earth, I don't.
It was
think
back in the day.
So.
You guys play Sim City or things?
Yeah,
like that?
I played the original Sim City a lot.
Yeah. Tim liked Sim City because there was the aspect of the design. He liked that. The way we played the game, you've heard this before, Sims, was he would design my houses. Yeah. And then I would actually play the people in the houses. He didn't have any use for the people. He thought the people were stupid. They can all just hide in the bathroom for all day. I don't care. Actually, I think that happened one time. He needed to repair something, so he just put them all in the bathroom and, like, closed off the bathroom and fixed it. And then he let him out of the bathroom.
See, I almost wish it had hovered trails of where people went so I could see what the pathing logic is.
And so that was the funny part.
If you turn on the cheat, it shows you.
Yes, there is a cheat for that. But yeah. So he would build a house, and then I would play, and then I would be like, "And this isn't quite right, because this needs to be," and I would explain what was going wrong. Okay, no problem. Sit down. Puzzle, you know, analyze it, put it all, just make sure the people aren't bothering me. Okay. And then I would go and play them again. So yeah, that was, he loved the architectural component to it. Couldn't stand the people.
Yeah, I can't stand the people either. like, especially like an Infamous or like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like they get in the way, so I just blow them up.
So you play evil?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh boy, is that why the NTs can lean evil? They're like, you people, they're in my way. Get out of the way.
Well, you are in the way of progress.
Loved Dungeon Keeper.
Oh yeah?
Loved Dungeon Keeper. Picking up my minions, slapping them, telling them to go fast.
What was that one?
Efficiency, I think.
Overlord. Overlord.
There's a new one coming out.
There is a new Overlord?
Supreme.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Overlord.
Why wasn't this in the 2016?
I don't know.
Right?
Oh.
Hey, I didn't do video games.
That's true. Sorry. Oh. But, so your NTs need puzzles. They need forward progress, I think is a good way of describing it. They need something to, if not break, they need something to puzzle
mold
out
and shape,
and mold and shape will. And yes, something that they can.
I think
mold.
That's also
not clay.
Yeah, no.
Not clay.
No, that's the artist. That's Bonnie.
Not no.
I think that's also why NTs make good GMs.
Yes, because of that architect component.
Yeah.
To build the world or build
drive
it, yes.
Progress.
Yes.
The challenge for an NTGM, as you know all too well, Derek, is when you have a bunch of NFs, SPs, then
it's
they're.
That's what Lance brought up with me, saying you have to shut up, let them talk for like 10 minutes, and then.
Yeah, let us get to know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Derek. I'm like, who cares? We have a goal. Let's do the goal.
Okay, so my wife is not here, but she normally is. And this is a discussion that her and I have had to kind of oppose the nature of that party establishment time. That people who are SFs, NFs, or FPs need to have. Because the logic for us, if you could use that term, is that all of a sudden we're playing a brand new game, and these characters that have never met each other all of a sudden know each other for some reason, and we're traveling to go and do this thing because some weird old guy just told us to at the end.
Why?
So the discussion that my wife and I have is for someone who is, and it's probably because of, And Carrie may be able to tell me different because she's more of an SF and my wife is an SF and I am not. Whether it's kind of an SF thing or an FP thing, but having that character bond is very important for people who fall into that feeler type.
Yes.
Because what's the reason for me to have a connection to your character if we haven't established that? Like, even if it's just like for 5 minutes, we just discuss, well, hey, you know, maybe you're my cousin, Rachel, and, you know, you grew up and you're 3 or 4 years younger than me, and you always looked at me as, you know, kind of a, he's going to be an adventurer one day, and I'd love to go on an adventure.
Trying to play a game.
Right,
so
but
therefore,
it's
therefore, to play the game, you have to have the characters traveling in the same direction.
Right.
True.
But the problem is, if I, here's, and this is kind of the way that I explain it when I'm talking to someone at work, when they're a new hire, you have to put value behind why I'm there. And if I don't have that value, then it's a waste of my time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other side. That's where the term game has always thrown everything off. And I think you've said that as well. You're right. We're playing a game. But more than anything, we're playing a character.
Right.
And if you're ever and
we are
specifically
playing
a role. And if you don't understand the aspects of that character that are important to you.
Right.
Will not be invested.
I'm playing a cleric. My job for the party is to heal. But if I don't know you, why am I going to heal you? What if we worship opposing deity?
Right.
What if I have a deity and you don't? And I disagree with that. And maybe that's something that our characters can develop, but if you never have that connection, then there is no value behind that character.
This might be an aspect of me being special within my category, but that's always irked me. It's like a pet peeve when you go in and you don't give that little bit of fluff to identify what's going on in the broader universe, because for me, I'm going into this and I don't know if I can accurately portray some of the behaviors of my character if I don't know that.
Right. And this is something that I've started doing when it comes to putting together roleplay parties, is game one is character creation, and then we're going to spend 3 hours.
Background.
We're going to spend 3 hours as a party in a room. We're all in an inn. We're all hanging out. And we're all talking. And it doesn't have to be that. I'm just saying, like, this is the time.
This is like,
Alan doesn't play roleplay games.
God, I shuddered.
But I mean,
I was making ugly ew faces.
Right, but I'm saying for me, it doesn't have to be for that long. I'm a pee, people. Okay.
Give me 15 minutes and still would be too long.
Well, that's fine. You know, I'll just tell you what you're doing and you can just go with that.
We'll win. That's all I care about.
Is that an EST people games? Yes.
But that's, to me, that's what that, having that connection versus it just being a, okay, well, our party build is we have to have a cleric and we have to have a rogue. And our goal is to beat the dragon at the end of the... Okay, well, why are we going after the dragon? What has the dragon done for me?
For an NT, like, especially an INTPJ, like me, basically for me...
Derek,
that's about
are we there now?
Special. Yeah, we're there.
Okay.
You're now witnessing some of my internal monologue before it's finalized. as running a game, I think that I would have to do it like you do it, Don.
Yeah.
Where there's a special session.
Yeah. Session zero.
I hate you both. where...
eating imaginary popcorn.
Yes. Where the party comes together, they introduce themselves, they find connections between themselves, and all that stuff is created because as soon as I start with session one, I want to go from plot point one to plot point two to plot point three.
And Debbie wants to say something, but I'm just going to put this out there. I did this with Bonnie and Carrie and Debbie and Josh just for fun. It was a trick that I learned in doing improv. And literally I said, who are you? Where are you? What are you doing? And then Carrie came up with an idea of who she was, where she was, and what she was doing. And I said, okay, how do you know Debbie's character?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, Debbie? Who are you? Where are you? Why are you there? And literally, they role-played without ever touching a die, without ever touching a character sheet, without having any game mechanics, literally built a town, three families.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Four families,
the relationship between each one of those families, and literally all I had to do was late, and maybe it's
a half hour.
Was it a half? Yeah. It seemed like it was a lot longer, but it was the content.
It was about an hour and a half, but it was between people coming in and out.
Yeah, the content was so rich.
You're also feeding a baby,
right? Because of because of leaving that, just kind of saying, okay, here's the format, play with it, go with it, and that's all. That's all, in my opinion, that you would need to say. Who are you? Where are you? Why are you there? How do you know these people?
That's powerful.
Right.
Because actually, as if I was to ever be like a DM or a GM, being able to start with something, that creativity, that initial spark is probably the hardest thing to
do. It is. Yeah, it is. Go ahead, Deb.
Oh, I thought Alan needed to say something.
No, I was pointing to you.
At me.
I mean, I always have something to say, but I knew you were waiting.
Well, I was, but the funny thing is I was actually going to bring up the very thing Don just brought up, which was that point, which was, and here's the thing, I'm an ST, I'm not an NT, so I thought it was satisfying my sensor component in that we were developing, and I could have in my mind's eye, and this is important for an S, is to have the five senses stimulated and brought to the front. I can see in my mind's eye this town. I see my character. I see Carrie's character. And building that, because my problem is you toss me into the middle of a game and go, okay, go. And I was like, I can't visually picture anything. Are we in a town? Are we in a cave? What are we doing? And what do I look like? How am I acting? What's my mannerisms? I need those to be able to play the character. And so I now have in my mind's eye the beginning of this game.
I need those too.
Yes. And at the end of our hour and a half, whatever that was, session, I would have been ready to sit down and do session one and be like, okay, let's do this thing.
Right.
We didn't have to play a session, but we built enough, and I thought it was because of my S. And it also was satisfying my T, my logic, which was rationally, this is the build of the town. This is why I am who I am. This is why I'm interacting with Bonnie and Carrie's and Josh's characters these ways. I had that built in, so my S and my T were satisfied. So...
Okay, you just triggered something. I think I know where my disconnect is.
Okay.
And it's the same disconnect that when I start having, when I have conversations with people.
Okay.
By the time I get to session one, I've already built the plot line in my head.
Okay.
I've built the relationships in the towns. I've built the NPCs. I've already gone through that process.
You've done that process already.
It's so time-consuming.
It is time-consuming.
Right. But and you put a lot of mental energy, and then...
Then it's like, okay, why didn't you guys live in my head for the past 2 weeks?
Right.
Right.
Because you're an N.
Right.
Right. And we're S's, and we're like, we can't see a thing of what you just did in your head. Right. So you would almost... A session like what we did with Bonnie and Carrie and Josh and I... Session zero, with you as the GM, either you are part of the process or sit and listen to the to the people start to build the characters in the world process.
Listen to it.
Right. So and sit and listen and just, and that's kind of what Don sat. And he's like, well, what about this? And just sat there and just started writing stuff down.
All I did was I said, this is the locale. Mm-hmm. This is the setting. You're in a small town out in the middle of nowhere. It happens to be, a Wayfair town where traders come in and out because they're heading from one big city to the next big city, and you just happen to be the next stop. So you've seen culture, you've been exposed to different things, but overall, it's a very small town. Go.
Yeah.
And we did. And as S's, because we're S's, we talk it out. Right. So for an N to sit and
listen... I should have had a recorder, is what I should have had, because it was awesome.
And so we kept bouncing.
Maybe we could bouncing. Do a play?
Actual play?
Yeah.
We could do that next
time. I would love to do an actual... We wanted to have a ladies thing, a ladies conversation anyway. But as S's, for us to talk it out, and then to have the N, Don over there in the corner just writing stuff down and just listening. And every once in a while, he might throw a question out, and then he'd just kind of sit back and watch. And we'd be like, oh, okay, and then what about this? And then things would change.
Was this similar to the Beholder session that we had?
No, it was, the questionnaires, the questionnaires that you did, the emails, very similar.
Okay.
Very similar.
I mean, the style, the type of thing that you're looking
for. Were you just asked the question, step away?
Yes.
Yeah, all I did was, I was just like, oh, well, what does your character think about what's going on in the town with this person?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd build a little bit off of that. And sometimes it wasn't relevant for where they were going, and sometimes it was. But I mean, it was just, and it was just
this hook. Sometimes then the another like I would
and literally
hook,
I just sat there and I was like, sweet,
like, oh,
awesome.
Well, and that hooks onto mine, and I can do this off of yours. And so it built. And by the time we were done, my older brother was interested in Bonnie, but hadn't told her that she actually was interested. I mean, we had some pretty detailed relationships.
I'd like to try that at some point.
Maybe sure,
but
it might be fun just to try it just for
and watch.
Like,
S's
it wouldn't necessarily be a campaign, but
that's
like,
that's what I'm saying. Like just to do some.
Well, that's what we told
campaign building and world building.
We said if we did this, I think it'd be one of those things where we take those characters and play like 3 or 4 sessions of
in a rules light Fate or
Quags.
Anything
Fate, Quags, something along those like that. USS may work too. I don't know.
Yeah.
That may be a little.
And then turning it around into if it turned into something bigger into maybe a more crunchy system just based on the character build.
I'm going to take a minute here.
Hang on. Alan wants to say something.
Yes.
Do you? Because I was going to bring you out. Like, I was going to call you out.
Do what you do. I will combine all of it.
Well, good. Because
we have like 45 minutes.
Yes.
No. Sure, we don't. Anyways.
I love John.
Interesting bit. There's a lot of intuitive, and even the sensors over here feel like they're getting things taken care of because we're a bunch of role players. You're not our role player.
That's right.
I am convinced that you would have a lot of fun in a dungeon crawl because there's no like there is
that's
the role.
He likes Pathfinder Society.
The Pathfinder Richard card game. Yes. I want to put him inside Rapid
Ethic.
That'd be fun stuff. Just the matter of you're playing a role and you're going into this dungeon to kill things and hopefully find treasure. I think you'd have a lot of fun with that.
Rapanathic is not even you're playing a role. You're a function.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Your function connects with this guy's function. Don't die.
And hopefully no one dies.
You'll have a whole new function.
Right.
And I'm happy you said that.
By the way, you're all wearing red shirts.
That's
yes,
right.
Yeah, yes. And here's your epilogue.
I'll never forget Derek diving into that water and getting completely torn apart by that black pudding. It was funny.
I like my pudding.
That's your pudding for the night.
I think that would be... What is it is missing? Like, we're talking about all this role-playing. I know it came from the mentality of an NT and what certain things draw them to role-playing and then turn into this cut. What is it that's keeping you?
Okay. We touched about this on other shows.
Yes, well, at least, I went on rants about this on other shows.
Basically, I don't mind playing preconceived character. One, right? So I have no problem like, okay, this is your character. This is what they do well. Because I'm not looking at it like, ooh, I wonder how he grew up. I wonder where he grew up. I wonder who his friends were. I wonder what his mother made for dinner most nights. No, I'm going, mechanically, this is what he can do. This is what he's able to do. This is what he does best. This is how he wins. This is how he interacts with everyone else. And this is what I need to worry about. Because at the end of the day, I want to win. Now, should we roll to see if we open this door? I don't care. Don't we have somebody to knock the door open? This is silly, right? Can I turn the knob? Screw that. Knock the knob and just blow it away. So, again, that's where
Barbarian.
There we go. Sure.
Barbarian.
That's fine. You know, maybe it's a puzzle. I get that. Whatever. But... I look at the mechanics of things. Mm-hmm. So the storyline's great. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. I'm the guy who plays...
Does it work?
I'm the guy who plays the game because I like the game.
Yeah.
And I skip through the story.
Yeah.
Now, I may like the set. Now, the setting matters to me. It does. I'm very, very particular. But... And that's why I was so weird about D&D or Pathfinder. the really weird fantasy setting.
Sure.
I'm like, no, come on. Like I said about Warhammer. You throw a 40K skin on it, sure.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
cool. I'll rock it out. That's you throw so... me goblins and orcs, I'm like, come on. So anyway, but that's really where I have a hard time with it. I hear all the story, and while I'm interested...
Sorry, you tore my heart and ripped it a little bit.
Oh, I was like... I thought that was the... Okay, and here goes the 40-minute rant.
No, it's cool.
Please, someone take his soapbox away from him.
No.
But no. It is really the fact that I'm always looking at the mechanics of things. I'm looking about ways to win. Yes, I want our characters to interact, but not because we have this wonderful relationship. It's because we benefit from each other. We are symbiotic.
I think it needs to be a thinker of some sort, because I understand. What?
We should do an X-Crawl game with Alan.
Yes.
Because that would be awesome.
Explain. I feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Josh,
I need an adult.
Okay,
Have you ever seen?
I need another adult.
Have you ever seen American Gladiators?
Yes.
Okay, imagine that, but combined with the Pathfinder or like high fantasy. It doesn't have to be high fantasy
mechanics.
Per se, but those mechanics. You are playing a character who has these abilities and so forth, but you are literally your job is to entertain people in an arena. Fighting things like goblins.
Are you
monsters,
not entertained?
Not entertained. Okay.
You are supposed to come up with like calls and things you holler. You're almost like a professional wrestler.
It's clobbering time, and then you knock somebody out.
Does it gain though? Do you gain from?
Yes.
You level.
You gain stuff.
You guys
money,
have introduced that
things.
To me.
Yeah, okay.
This is my gateway drug.
Yes,
you're like,
yes.
Here, play Pathfinder. You might like it. And I'm like, didn't I tell you on another show? I play Alan. I don't play Ezrin.
Correct.
And you're like,
correct.
Make him you.
Okay. Offensive spells.
Okay. Alan, what are you doing with the marker?
Way cooler.
I don't like his name.
He's Alan then.
But then
who spells?
You know, from session to session to session, I went, cool, this is something that I enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and I've kind of sunk my teeth into it.
Mm-hmm.
You. But I thoroughly enjoy it, and I do thank you, but if we go to character creation, you guys just, I'll phone it in.
Okay. You we'll hand you a character.
That's fine.
Yeah. You tell me what you want,
here,
we'll build it for
yeah.
you.
It's okay.
Barbarian.
Well, that's what we did.
Barbarian.
Ezrin. We handed him Ezrin and said, make him yours. And you went, all right, well, then these spells are gone. And then now it's your deck.
Are you kidding me?
See, look at that.
Avital is a huge role-playing game fan and still doesn't quite understand how to make a character. Everyone's made the character for her, but it doesn't matter. She's one of the best players we have.
Yeah, she is.
Storytelling-wise, she's,
But that's where you lose me, honestly.
That's okay.
You open a door, and now you give me like a 3-minute description of the room, and that's right. Cool. Uh-huh. I respect that. I respect the work that goes into it.
Because that's setting. Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Right.
What are we doing?
But I'm going, uh-huh.
That must be the thinker.
How many dice do I need to throw? What do they need to be?
That must be a thinker, because I kind of do the same thing.
Let's talk it out.
Are we going to stealth? Are we going to fight? Are we going to talk? What are we going
to
do here?
And we have bookend our episode back to thinker versus feeling.
Just
send me the footnotes.
Really?
Okay. Send me the footnotes.
I do not agree with that, because storyline is important to me, and I am super thinker.
I was like a play-by-post forum role player before I got into the D&D stuff, so I would type all of this out, every little thing that was in the room, and, my reactions, and the emotions, and all this kind of stuff, so now that I, sit down and, role-play D&D or Pathfinder, I'm like, but all this stuff that I like, and I don't have it, and I'm just going to sit here on my phone because I have no idea what's going on.
It has to have impact for me. And when I'm playing games, unfortunately, when I'm watching something, now, this is also what I was thinking when you were talking to me, was that when I'm watching something, if I was watching your campaign or watching something on television or something like that, the storyline means so much to me. Okay. I dive into each character. I invest myself in each character.
Okay.
But when I'm playing something, unless I'm having to act for some strange reason.
Right.
Then I'm going to look at it mechanically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want the J.J. Abrams style campaign when you're in it.
Yes.
But maybe a Josh Whedon when you're outside of it.
Wow. Okay, I think I followed that.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
So there you go. 1 hour and 10 minutes.
There we go. There was a lot in there.
I see the host is putting down. So I'm going to...
I am.
That's all right. I'm going to make again just a public... yippee to PopCon.
Get all our PSAs out of the way.
Get some stuff out of there real quick. Again, we're going to be sponsoring at PopCon as the official podcast stage sponsor, so we're excited about that. I know that the Lebanon MegaCon is coming up out of Missouri.
It's Lebanon, Missouri, April 29th through May 1st, and I will be manning a booth there for Universal Storytelling System. You guys should all come in and visit. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Let's see what else is going on there.
It's only January, so definitely get online and look at all of the cons that are coming. I mean, con season kind of starts to trickle in February.
If only there is a website that categorized all of the conventions.
Right?
Maybe we know someone who can do that.
I don't know. We're supposed to be having a newsletter coming out pretty soon that should have some of this information.
One of these days, though.
Let's see what else is on there. Don't forget to check out our other friends of the show. Go to on the website. There's a link on the side for friends of the show. We got a lot of them listed in there now.
Is Pop Cultish in there?
I don't know if I have their site yet, but we'll get them on there.
Tony and Emily. Tony Shaw, and Emily. Pop Cultish. They're amazing.
Idiot. DrewCon June 3rd.
Sure.
Third and fourth.
Yep.
Yeah.
Continuing with that convention push, Indiana Comic Con, etc. I know you've seen a lot of posts on Facebook, but I'm gonna. Again, continue to push these guys because they've been great for just kind of to talk to and everything. The Carolina Game Tables. Interesting point about this, and this is going to go towards you. I don't know if you realize this.
By the way, he's pointing at me, Derek.
I was getting sorry. Thank you, Derek.
Because this is a visual medium.
Yes. Right. Jody and Clint Black are both developers for Savage Worlds.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know if you were aware that they are Carolina Game Tables.
I did not know that.
Yes.
They were wearing Savage World shirts at Gen Con.
Correct. So I know that they are, they've been doing Savage Worlds development for a while now, and they started Carolina Game Tables out of that. They play Savage Worlds and so forth. So you had, that was one of the original game systems you brought kind of around, even though we've only played it twice, but... That's okay.
Are you saying you want me to run more Savage Worlds for you, Josh?
We said last year that we wanted to try a whole bunch of different things that didn't happen.
Savage Worlds.
Oh, okay.
Savage Worlds up there.
I Fate Accelerated game, which I really like to play more of that to get into.
I recently got Deadlands, so I could run that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's the Western one.
Yeah, it is.
I want to play a Western game, so especially after us doing your USS demos, I was really enjoying the USS Western thing.
Yeah.
But, yes, check out our friends of the show. In particular, so
two things that I just remembered we have not done yet. One of them is Debbie has associated classes with particular personality types, and we've done them for everything else. We have not yet done them for the rational intellectuals. So Deb, Do you have them?
I do have them.
All right.
I did make a change to it, though, and I was sure. This morning as I was looking there. That's not quite right. But so I'm going to pick the INTJ first because, goodness, we have two INTJs at the table. So I put down, and you could argue this, a plain old boring wizard. Because with the wizard, it is based upon knowledge. The wizard is the thinker. I always think of the wizard in the back, kind of watching and seeing what's going to happen. And where do I need to throw that fireball to strategically blow up the most number of... I know that may be too... I don't mean for that to be too boring and basic for you INTJs, but I can see, you know, that...
I agree with that.
You know, the sitting on the side with
because
your hands together.
Because most overlords are wizards.
Yeah.
They're draconic liches.
Yeah. But lich is by necessity a wizard.
That's
so
true.
It's and a subclass. The specialized.
I would say from an outside looking in perspective, I would have to kind of agree. They're wizards are kind of the hermit. They mm-hmm. want to do a lot of studying.
Yeah.
They want to have.
I think of them as introverted
because of their intuitive nature. They want to make sure that if they need a spell, they have it. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily... It's more of a practical sense than it would be like a bard or a cleric.
Right.
It might be more of a P where it's like, okay, well, just in case this happens. It's
right.
more of a, I have a larger array. Definitely a J because you have to choose specialty schools. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, I'm willing to not learn these things so that I can learn these things at a higher value.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly a T because... you are using a lot more source material.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense versus, like, say, a sorcerer. Sorcerer is definitely more of, like, a, in my opinion, a P in that sense.
Yeah, I think it's a much more...
The only thing I could try seeing maybe in that same light would be a warlock.
A warlock?
As an INTJ. But okay. It's tough.
Okay. What else you got, Deb?
So I've got for the INTP, and I need a little bit of explanation here. I have mage down. Now, can you give me a better explanation within Pathfinder of mage versus
INTP
wizard?
INTP is the engineer?
They are. It's my brother.
Yeah.
So you're alchemist type.
Spell
alchemist would be good. Alchemist would probably be good in
okay.
Pathfinder.
Okay. All right. And I can
They're
see that, too.
Kind of builder, creator type. There's no...
Artificer.
If there was an there was an artificer, I would say that would be.
And I was trying to figure out if the artificer should be the INTP or the ENTP.
Summoner.
You think the summoner? To summon someone else to do it for him?
No. Summoner has the Eidolons.
Yeah, they have the Eidolon.
Oh, okay.
And they build the Eidolon basically off of specs.
It's new to me. I haven't really.
I could maybe see an Eidolon. Or I mean, a summoner using an Eidolon. I think
you've got all those different possibilities, and then you have...
Yeah, I think an alchemist, though, is probably a little bit closer, just because they have such a focus on...
My summoner was so weird, so I can't really say she was kind of out there.
Summoner might fit for something else in the list.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where to put summoner. I had summoner, but then I changed it out. Okay, so anyway, INTP... Okay. I had ENTP as artificer. But you could argue the INTP is the artificer. The ENTPs were known as the inventors or also the visionaries. So ENTJ, the marshal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The marshal, which I pretty much am really confident with that one. As I said, the INTP is tough because I would say,
let's to put a J perspective on it, let's say the alchemist.
For an INTP. All right. And then, as I said, the ENTP is the artificer. I don't know if an artificer is extroverted enough for an ENTP. ENTPs also tend to be, kind of debaters. Like, they don't mind talking about things a lot because your brother is an ENTP.
Right. ENTP is what?
The visionary, the inventor.
The originator.
The originator, right. They are the extroverted version of my brother. So all of that thought process and all those ideas going around, but they actually verbalize them.
Yeah, I mean, to put an actual, like, class, because Artificer is not a Pathfinder class. And
correct.
Actually, in D&D, I believe it's a prestige class.
It
wouldn't be a core or a base class.
Right.
But maybe a...
an inspector, but I know that's not a D&D either.
No,
Pathfinder.
No, but I could see
the inspector is.
Inspectors, but or I'm not sure.
Maybe it's called the investigator.
Yes, investigator. It would.
Well, no,
be.
But there's one that was in the advanced class guide. That's the combined of the rogue and something else. It's called either the investigator or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be
rogue.
An ENTP
Paladin,
would get bored with
rogue
that.
Ranger, maybe rogue I don't know. Ranger?
They would talk to two people and then get bored and then go wander off into the woods somewhere.
Right. I think I look at that personality as more of like a someone who would create like golems and things like that,
which is why I thought the artificer,
you know what I mean? Like,
creating odd,
that would be more
things.
Of a wizard or a sorcerer that
I was
focused
seeing
on
somebody
that.
With spell creation.
Yeah
I agree. So maybe they are more the wizard,
arcane user. That's really tough. It's, well, the problem is because
demonologist.
Right.
True.
Yeah,
there you go. So I mean, and along those same lines, so when we were talking
tough.
About that, Bonnie was also doing the crimes of the Myers-Briggs.
Which I wrote down, but if you want to do them, go for it.
I don't know if I have the same one you do. So
okay.
I'm going to read my crimes,
go
and then you
it.
Can tell them about your crimes for the NTs. So INTJs, money laundering.
Yeah, I have white collar and racketeering.
The INTP, failure to appear in court.
I have drug dealer and hacker.
I could see the hacker.
Could do. The ENTJ, treason.
I have... Oh, you know what? ENTJ?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
I have white collar and racketeering for ENTJ,
oh.
And I have perjury and blackmail for ENTP.
For an ENTP?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. ENTP impersonating an officer is
oh,
what
nice.
Some people
yeah.
think would be there.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. What was the INTJ? Were they also white collar racketeering?
INTJ?
Mm-hmm.
Murder.
Oh, murder. Oh, you guys are murder.
Yeah, I can see that.
And on that note,
yeah, right.
How
all
did
right,
I get caught.
See, that's the thing.
It didn't
we wouldn't get caught.
It's just
somebody else would be getting caught.
It's a crime that you
they
committed.
Only spent
it's not necessarily a crime that you were
what?
Persecuted, or prosecuted for. Persecuted,
15,
whatever.
15 for an accident. 10 if you don't want it to look like an accident.
Wow.
Wow.
We would have land planned out where we would hide the bodies.
Yeah.
We would
exactly.
we'll have conversations.
Don't look
after
at our Siri history.
So, right.
Yes.
All right. So, for our first fact of 2016 and our previous fact from episode 113, it was Gen Con, the best 4 days in bathrooms.
Yes.
For episode 114. Yeah, you had to be there.
Oh, my.
Episode 14. 114.
Yes, 114. We're yes.
Ragar is special. Alan is a mechanic. Derek is a hermit. Carrie is a nurturer. Debbie is focused. Don is a storyteller, and Josh is in a white shirt. That's episode 114 from the Established Facts. Thank you so much, and we will check you later.
See ya.
Bye.
See you later. Bye. Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you'd like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot.
Bonus!